1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Here, Paul, writing to the Thessalonians, as the one who planted the church there, many of us understand and know that Paul was a church planter, and not only was he a church planter, he was an apostle. And so he planted this church, and unfortunately, there was many people who had a real hard time with Paul and the men that were with him, Timothy and Silas. And so they started a lot of trouble, so much so that those that believed the gospel, after 3 weeks of Paul being there and evangelizing, they said, you know, it's probably best for your own safety that you guys leave because your lives are in danger. So they did leave, and Paul wrote this letter about a year later or so, just trying to find out how they were doing. Paul had tried to connect and reconnect with the Thessalonians, but he said Satan hindered him. We don't know what the details of that is, but Paul says that he tried. They had tried to get back. Now, Paul was in Athens when he wrote this, and this would take days of walking, several days, the journey. So it's not like today. So you cannot think like today. You can't think, well, how hard is it to communicate? You know, I could just call someone or FaceTime someone. But in those days, obviously, none of those things existed. It was walking, horses, boats. And so to travel was not easy, and it would take months and months of travel. So he said he tried, but eventually they sent Timothy. And about a year later, as I said, Timothy had reached the church there, and he found out how the church was doing. And so Paul, he says how blessed he was when he found out. In verse 13, he says, "For this reason we also thank God without ceasing." So they were so thankful for other things that we've been getting into more on Wednesday nights. But he now mentions this specific thing. "Because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth," or indeed, "the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." Amen. Now, let's read that together, okay? And let's read that out loud, and let's read that again. Here we go, verse 13. "For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, so holy and pure. We thank you for how it works, how it has a transforming effect on the soul. We thank you, Lord, for how you have been so faithful to give us your word. And no matter what kind of attempts have been made throughout our history, men have tried to banish the word or burn the books of the Bible and try to destroy your word, taking your word out of schools and many other things. But God, your word endures forever, and no work of man will ever thwart your word from being a part of our lives. You're our creator, and so your word is going to be a part of humanity until you come for us, and until there's that great white throne judgment, and there's the final sentencing where those who have chosen to reject your word, sadly, will spend eternity. But Lord, now we have your word. We're so grateful to you, and we pray, God, that as we consider what these things mean, and how and what kind of effect they should have on us, I pray, God, that you would change us. I pray that we would have a greater understanding of your word, and we would leave here more equipped by your word to do your will and to share your word with those that you bring into our path. We love you, God, and we thank you for your love for us. And we value your word, even as you said that you esteem your word even above your name. And so, God, we value your word. You put such an emphasis and value on your word, and we value your word too, and we thank you again for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I titled this morning's message, The Working Work of God. The Working Work of God. You ever wonder why some people profess to know God, but you never really see any change in their life? You ever see people who year after year seem to not grow spiritually? And then in strike contrast to that, there are some folks that God has brought into your life, or maybe you yourself. Once the Word of God came in, it was like, that was it. Your life has been radically changed. Amen. And you see that in some people. And maybe they don't grow like Paul the Apostle, but there's steady growth. Every single year, you see them growing stronger in their journey of faith. Well, why is it that some people don't grow and yet they profess to know God? Well, I believe the answer actually is found right here in this verse. Now, I'm not saying that people who profess to know God don't, but Jesus did say, you will know people by their fruit. Now, we'll get back to the verse here, but if you think about fruit, fruit is just a manifestation of something that's going on that's invisible. What do I mean by that? Well, the seed goes into the soil, and there are three things that have to happen for a seed to germinate. One, there has to be water. Two, there has to be sufficient heat. And then there also has to be the right environment, the right kind of soil. Remember, Jesus taught the parable about the seed and the sower, and he said that some seed fell on the rocky ground, and it got choked out. So there's certain conditions of the ground that when a seed goes into the ground, if the conditions are right, and it's not really that difficult, but if the conditions are right, eventually what's going on in the invisible starts to manifest itself in the visible. So when you see a pear hanging from a tree, or maybe in our area you might see more apples hanging from a tree, that is when it's season. You're just seeing the fruit of what's taking place. Well, that's how the Word of God works too. Jesus, if you remember, Jesus, he used the Word of God and he illustrated it as a seed, because that's something that most people are familiar with. And seeds are a real common part of our lives. Sometimes you don't even think about it, but until you bite into one, let's say you eat into the core of the apple and you start chewing on the seed, then you think, oh, I got the seed. But other than that, you don't really think about it. It's just such a normal part of our everyday life. Kids know about seeds. So Jesus would often use simple, ordinary things that most people were very familiar with to explain the not so simple, the supernatural, the spiritual. And so Jesus, he illustrates the Word of God as a seed. And so there's certain conditions in order for that seed to germinate, so to speak. There has to be a right heart. That's the soil. There has to be faith. You have to couple it with faith. You know, and so when there's the right heart and it's the seed goes in and it's coupled with faith, that's something that takes place in the invisible. And that's where real change takes place. And so the reason why sometimes we don't see people's lives changing, because they're really not living by faith. They're not really trusting the Word of God. Now, it might not be in all areas of an individual's life. It might be in a certain area. But for some people, they profess to know God. I've met them, but there is no change whatsoever in their lives. And they'll say that they know God. For example, John, he identifies this. Let's turn to 1 John. First John chapter 2, this is not the Gospel of John, this is the Epistle of John near the end of the Bible. 1 John chapter 2, look what he says in verse 4. He who says, I know him. Now there's a lot of people who say, I know him. And does not keep his commandments. So he identifies a kind of person that says, I know God, I know Jesus, I know him, and yet does not keep the word of God. And so what he says here in identifying that individual is he is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Now, for some of you, you would say, yeah, I agree with that. That's true, because you know God and you keep his commandments. And your spirit, the Holy Spirit, bears witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. So there's no concern. You don't feel any heat in your body right now because there's conviction. But then there's some that this is a fearful thing in a sense, because you hear this and you think, well, wow, the Bible identifies me as a liar. Now, one of the things I love about the Bible is black and white.
Yes.
And there's no, like, I don't picture God like this. Well, I don't know, maybe. You picture God like that? I'm not sure, so, well, I don't know. Well, I guess okay. I don't see God that way. I see God, the author of our life, knowing everything that is right and everything that is wrong and knowing the depths of who we are fundamentally. The Bible says that there's nothing hid in his sight. What you did last night, whether it was good or bad, was not hid in his sight. What you're thinking, the thoughts that you thought last night or yesterday, or what you did when no one was looking, watching, and you might think you're getting away with it. No, there's nothing hid in his sight. He knows everything. And he knows the motives of our hearts. So he doesn't just see the action, but he knows the motives. Now, we're not so good at determining motives, aren't we? I mean, we're not. But he is. And so when he says and makes a statement that says, a person who says they know me, but they don't obey me, then that person is a liar. That person is a liar. And the truth is not in him. Why is that? See, because, you know, the wonderful Word of God, the working Word of God, and when it comes to change and when you see visible fruit, it's an inside job. Change takes place on the inside. And the truth, when a person is truly understanding the Word of God and living to follow the Word of God and the will of God, then the natural byproduct will be a visible manifestation of the inside, what's working on the inside. Just like when you can't see, what's going on in the ground, but you could see the apple. You know that the seed, obviously, that went into that ground, even though you didn't see it when it was germinating and going through photosynthesis and all that process, you know yourself that that was an apple seed. And so this is how truth works. The Word of God is truth, and it will bring forth change, an obedience to God, a hunger for God. You cannot be the same as you were a year ago, 2 years ago, 4 years ago, 5 years ago. You can't.
Amen.
So if a person continues to not have change and becoming more like Christ, then here it's the opposite of what Paul says in verse 13. Look at what he says here. He says, for this reason, we also thank God without ceasing. I'm in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, and here it is, which also works in you. And he says, effectively, also works effectively in you who believe. So if the Word of God is not working in an individual effectively, then what it is, it's a sign that the individual does not trust God, does not believe. Now, that's it, generally speaking. Now, there are some times where believers have a struggle in their faith. In an area. So you'll see change, you'll see growth, but in a certain area, there's a struggle. We even hear one man that said to Jesus, I believe, but help me with my unbelief. So those two things can be happening, but a person who is struggling in unbelief will, whatever the situation is, within a reasonable short time, because they do believe in the Word of God, they will overcome their doubts and their unbelief and eventually just trust God, no matter how hard it is. Because we all start in unbelief. And so you could see both happening in believers, but a person who says that they believe, but they don't live, or they know, but they don't do, then that person's a liar. When you could see year after year, that's consistent in their lives. But there can be those that have their struggles with faith. And so I just don't want to alarm anyone and make people feel something that they shouldn't feel, because you might have a struggle, but you're growing. Now, we'll answer the question, what needs to happen? What really needs to happen for the Word of God to be working effectively in us? And there are at least four things. But before we do, I want to just share with you some of the things that the Word of God does and is. And there are so many scriptures that anyone can choose from. I only picked a few, just 100. We'll get through this. Okay, here we go. Not quite 100, I just picked a few. But you don't have to turn there, it'll take too long. But Psalm 18:30, the psalmist says, as for God, his way is perfect, that is flawless. The word of the Lord is proven. In other words, men have, in a sense, not in a bad sense, but have put the Word of God to the test, so to speak. And the Word of God always proves to be perfect. That's why so many people trust in God. And it's a sad thing that there are people that are exposed to God, but still in their hardness of heart, refuse to trust Him. But we encourage people to trust the Lord, because His word is perfect. And it's perfect, the Bible tells us, for restoring the soul. A lot of us are hurting. A lot of us are broken. A lot of us are hurting and broken because of one what happened to us in the past, or what's happening to us, or what we've done. The things that we've done, we've brought the hurt and the pain to ourselves, and we're carrying these things. But the Bible tells us, and I believe it wholeheartedly, I've experienced it myself, that the Word of God is perfect in restoring our souls, for bringing healing. And that's why it's so important for people, for men, women, youth, children, to trust the Word of God, because it is like a healer. The Word of God heals the soul and really aligns us and helps us to understand things from a biblical perspective, so that way we can live our lives in order to minimize the damage that we can create. And also when we're subjected to things that are outside of our control, it also helps us and enables us to respond in a way that's the best way to respond in every situation. And so the Word of God gives us wisdom. Now, I'm not going to take as much time on just one verse, because we'll be here forever, like some of you are already thinking. But Psalm 119, verse 160 said, "The entirety of your word is truth, from cover to cover."
Amen.
Everything this word, the book says, is truth. You can't pick and choose. From cover to cover, the entirety of your word is truth. Jesus said this, quoting the Old Testament, "Man shall not live by bread alone." And so he makes a distinction. He says that there are two planes, if you would. There's the horizontal plane, and then there's the vertical plane, and we live on both. Unfortunately, some people reject the vertical and only focus on the horizontal. But Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, the physical, the natural, but by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. That's the vertical. That's the supernatural. That's the Word of God is what brings life. Just like bread brings physical life, but eventually we die, the Word of God brings eternal life, and you never die. You just depart. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, "So then by faith," or rather, yeah, "so then faith," here it is, "comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Amen. That's why we encourage you to come on Sundays and Wednesdays and be in the Word of God on your own during the week. Because faith comes by hearing, and it only comes by hearing the Word of God. No other source. It's the Word of God that brings faith, but you have to hear it. You have to receive it. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17 says, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Here, the Word of God, out of the list of the spiritual warfare weapons, I guess, or attire, because it's the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the only instrument that you and I are given as a way to attack, and it's not to attack people. You know, that's why some of us have gotten the name Bible Thumper, because we thump people over the head with the Bible. Maybe some of our Baptist brothers are known to do that. We love them, and we wish we had the same kind of courage, maybe not the same tact, but we're not anti-Baptist or... I'm just saying, the Word of God is to attack the adversary. Remember, Jesus said three times the adversary brought three things to Jesus, and Jesus said in each of those temptations, he says, "It is written, it is written, it is written." And then what Jesus did was take out the sword and just all those wiles of Satan. So we have a weapon of attack against the adversary. Philippians chapter 2, verse 16, he says, "Holding fast the word of life." It's the word of life. It's Colossians 3, 16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." I mean, and it goes on and on. I have so many more, we're not going to be able to get through them all. But you can do a search on the Word of God in your concordance or online, and you could find the same scriptures. We're so blessed to have the Word of God so accessible. And so the Word of God does so many things and is so many things for us and to us. Now, going back to answering the question, you know, what are the things? Paul mentions four things that must happen in order for the Word of God to work in us effectively. So the first question before we answer that is, do we want the Word of God to be working in us effectively? Is that really something that we want? And if it is, then these are the things that have to take place. There's the general, that is when you receive the gospel, but then there's the everyday. Remember, Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. So there's the general, but then these same principles need to be utilized every day, no matter what comes our way. Now, there are three things that bring change. There's three kinds of changes, rather. There's the personal change. People long for personal change. Then from the personal change, there's the more of the, you know, the physical change. People don't long for the physical change after like 30. They don't like to see the aging process or those kinds of changes, but there's the physical change, and you have a little control over that. And then there's the peripheral changes. Those are the changes that happen outside of you that to some large degree you have no control over. It's just how you respond to it. What we're talking about is the personal change. Personal change. And how does personal change take place? And so there are four things. As I said, look at the first. He says to them, because when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us. He says, you receive the Word of God. The word receive here in the original language, a word to describe it is you learned. You learned it. He says, you learned the Word of God. We taught it to you while we were there, and as we were teaching you, you actually were interested. You learned. You were learning the things. You were willing to learn. So that's one thing that needs to be taking place. You always have to be a learner. You have to always be willing to learn what God says, whether you like it or not. How many times have you read the Bible and said, I don't like that. That means I have to change. And then the struggle comes and it's like, well, am I going to follow Christ? Am I going to do it my way? And you come to a point where you say, well, I've done it my way for so many years, it doesn't work. Amen. So God, I'm sorry, I'll do it your way. Forgive me for resisting. And you're going to do it his way. You learn. Amen. Then the second thing, he says, you welcomed it. You welcomed it. So it's not just learning, and that's where a lot of people, they just have, it's really their profession. It's not a faith, it's a profession of education. They learn about God, and so they think because they learn about God that they're okay with God. But there's more to just having information about God. There's so many unbelievers that can quote scriptures and share with you the gospel. They might even say they believe. You know, James, he chimes in and he says, even the devils believe. You know, the devils believe. You say you have faith? Oh, that's good. Even the devils, the demons believe, he chimes in. You think the demons are going to heaven? You think the demons are? No, they've already sealed their fate for eternity. So there could be a profession in an individual who's truly not believing, or that is receiving, welcoming the word. And he says here, welcome the word. The word also is the word receive, but this means to accept it. It's It's a similar word in, for example, the King James. I think they're both received. But in the original language, one means to learn. The other one says, once I learn it, I accept it. I take it in. But look at what he says. He adds on to it. He says, what you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. And so it's understood that this, as we're reading it, this is not what Dave Crespo's coming up with. Only God, this is God's word. This is not my word. A lot of times people look at the pastor and says, oh, the pastor's, you know, it's his message. I'm not preaching my message. This is God's word, and I've learned it, I accept it, I love it, I believe it. And many of you, I'm in the company of wonderful saints. But this is the word of God. Now, there are some folks who misuse the word of God and mishandle the word of God, and they teach their own ideas, and they use the word of God as kind of like a diving board, a springboard. You know, they start in the word, and then they end up somewhere else in their own agenda. But when you have the word of God, as you and I in this day and age, when Paul was sharing, the word was being, not the Old Testament, but not everyone had a copy of the Old Testament like we have copies. The New Testament was being made. It was in the making. So they were getting epistles, and maybe there was one epistle, and the congregation would hear it and read it. And then they had to accept the word. This is not men talking. These men are under the inspiration of God, and they're messengers. That's all they are. They're messengers communicating the message of God. And so what you can do is you can get past the man and look at the message of the true master in heaven, the true minister is Jesus Christ. And so they learned it, they accepted it, but they also, number three, they viewed it as the word of God. And you have to do these things. You have to learn it, you have to accept it, and you have to see that this is the word of God. This is not the word of man. Amen. And then the fourth thing, and this is like, this is what seals the deal, is faith. He says it works in those who believe, not those who hear it. You know, they learn it, they understand it, and they even say, yeah, I believe that that's God, or I accept that that's God's word. I don't see it as man's word. I agree with that. But until a person says, I am committed to doing the word of God, there's no real effective working of the word of God in that individual's life. Because believe is not just a mental assent. Belief is a commitment. It's a commitment to Christ and the teachings of Christ, the teachings of the apostle, and it's only when a person is committed. This, in this sense, the faith is a commitment. I am committed to doing your will, O God. Amen. Then the word works effectively in the individual. So, as we close, is the word of God working effectively in your life? And if it is, it's because you're doing these things that Paul outlined or mentioned and we outline. If it's not, then go back. At what point are you're missing? And then just get that right. And start trusting, being committed to the Word of God in every area of your life. And this will be the result, and then we'll pray. You don't have to turn there, but this is Psalm 1. And listen to what the psalmist says. Blessed Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the paths of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the streams of water, producing its fruit in its season, and whose leaves shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall not prosper, or shall prosper. I'm glad I was reading it. Whatever he does shall prosper. Whatever he does shall prosper. And Father, we thank you for your word that causes us to prosper in the sense of every area of our lives. Your word helps any individual and all of us who trust and are committed to obeying your word to excel in relationships, in finances, in business, even teaches us how to enjoy this life without needing other substance or things to help us cope. Your word is and provides wisdom. Your word is wisdom, provides wisdom for every aspect of our lives. And Lord, we thank you that you cause growth. The word effectively works in those who believe. And we believe, we trust. And for some, Lord, we pray that you would help them with their unbelief and save their souls. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.